just that water flows. So you want to look at that. And we just thank God and we appreciate the Lord for informing us. That's one thing that we can say about God. He always keeps us informed. Amen. He keeps us informed. Make sure that you're preparing your canned items up. You want to make sure you do that. Things that you would not realize you need to think outside the box, you want to make sure you do that. Amen. Because what if happens if you run out of water? Then you need some wipes because everybody can't go where they need to go and they're not properly sponged, right? So get you some wipes, get some baby wipes, all those different things you're going to need. Put them up. Now, one thing I do know about God, God has always, he has never failed us. And he has always allowed us to be prepared, even down through the time of COVID. He informed us. He gave us what we needed. And we made it through. Amen. And also, we stood on Psalms 91. So we're still going to stand on Psalms 91. Amen. We stand on God's word. So that is so important, that we learn to stand on God's word. And if you can, and if you would, read Psalms 91 every day. Read Psalms 91 every day. Are we ready? Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. How many of y'all know that God's still on the throne regardless of what the devil is throwing at us? And this joy that we have, the world cannot take it away. We're not to look at one another in the flesh, but the Lord, through Paul, said, know one another by the Spirit and not by the flesh, because we once knew Jesus like that, but now we know him in the Spirit. Amen. Our message today is the law of attraction. How many of y'all know about attraction? Sometimes we have to attract ourselves to things, and sometimes things attract itself to us. So we got to be careful of what we attract to us and what tries to attract itself to us. The first law of God in his creation was the law of attraction. Let me give you an example. You take gravity. God made gravity so that things would stay in place. We are attracted to gravity, and gravity is attracted to us, right? It's the law of attraction. All through the Word of God, what you'll see is a thread that's running through the Bible about the law of attraction. Now, when we look at God, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Attraction. Attraction is like a hurricane. You know, it says when you want something, you ask God, right? But in order to ask God, you got to attract God's attention, right? To get him to be attracted to you. Now, when you ask God for something, the law of attraction is in effect. But we're going to deal with how this thing works, because we're not talking about magic here. We're talking about the power of God. There's a big difference. This is not hocus pocus. This is a protocol. Everything has a protocol to it. God has a protocol to it, to him. And we must understand what that protocol is. I want us to go to Romans, the 4th chapter. We don't have the scriptures up there today because I've got to get somebody back there. I'm trying to bring up the children that we have here that comes, or somebody, to go back and learn how to put those scriptures in, because it's kind of hard to get my old lady to do it because she wants to be, she's either preaching, well, when she's not preaching, somebody else is in the pulpit beside myself. it's hard to get her to go back there because she want to be out here and hear the word. And just like everybody else, they want to also, most of them. And it's cool, you know, because everybody need the word, right? But Romans 4:17 tells us that as it is written, are you there? It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father, which is an originator of many nations. He's talking to Abram here, right? And Abraham is the father of nations, which is the father of those that are in faith. Amen? By faith, Abraham believed God, and he was counted as not only a friend of God, but a righteous man of God. So, Romans tells us, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, Abram, he believed God, even God, who quickeneth the dead, that means he makes alive that which is dead, and calleth, oh boy, that's attraction right there, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen? Calleth. Let's go back to that word, calleth. When you call someone, you attract their attention. Amen? Now, when we call things out that we can't see, but by faith, we're able to bring it in, right? All right, let's see how this works. Go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm not going to be with you long. I want to teach you this morning. Hebrews 11, verses 1. Just go there. Because the scripture will tell us, if we understand what the scripture is saying, it will tell us what we need to know about God. So let's deal with this. What's that first word there? Now. That means just what it says, right? Right now. Right now, faith. What is faith? Faith is the Hebrew word for conviction of truth, right? So translating this, it means now the conviction of truth, faith, is the substance or the foundation of things hoped for and the evidence or the proof of things not seen. So here we go. When you want something from God, you first have to be convicted of the truth about God. Faith. How does faith come? By hearing. How does hearing come? By the word of God. But how can you hear unless you got a preacher? And how can he preach unless he's been sent by God? Amen? This is not for everybody. Some people might want it, but you have to be qualified. You got to be able to go through the storms of life and the nightmares, because I've had them all night long. And let me tell you something. You keep hearing Jesus is coming soon, I'm going to tell you what's coming. Hell's coming. Hell's coming. The Bible says that it's enlarging itself and it's coming up to meet us. Hell's coming first, like we never seen before. I will not speak on the things I didn't even tell my wife that God showed me. That's why I prayed to God, Lord, stop giving me these dreams. Because in a prophetic spirit, the burden of what the person has to go through in these visions is monstrous. And you gotta be able to handle it, or it will take you out. Because God can show you some stuff that'll really, really, really screw you up. When I woke up, I was hollering for my wife. Where are you, Brenda? And I grabbed her And then I got up and I had to go and I had to meditate. Then early this morning, here come another nightmare, you know. But see, God had already conditioned me from the first one for the second one not to bother me that bad, okay? But that first one really got to me. And I'm telling you, church, hell is coming up to meet us, just as the Bible says. But I got good news. Jesus Christ is going to cover his people. But we got to go through. In order to get there, we're going to have to go through. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You're going to have to go through this thing called life. Life ain't always pretty, is it? Life is tough, ain't it? And the things that we do in the world, you know, because of who we are sinful people. All of us are sinners. If anybody ever tell you they're not a sinner, they are a lie, and the truth ain't in it, because the Bible says none are righteous, no, not one. So when you ask God for something, it's like a hurricane. The law of attraction is like a hurricane. And as the winds get closer and closer and closer, they fall into a slot. And when they fall into the slot, you receive what you've asked for. Can't do it without faith. So now faith, the conviction of truth, is the foundation. See, if you don't have the foundation correct, then the rest of it is not going to be correct either. Okay? Foundation has to be correct. And our foundation is in Christ Jesus. It don't make no difference what you're going through. You got to get over what you're going through and get with where you're going. I say you got to get over what you're going through. And remember where you're going, because what the devil is trying to do to all of us, he's trying to take our minds off God. He's trying to take us away from God. He's trying to do a whole lot of things, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It won't work. So it's like the winds of a hurricane. Now, when we want something from God, the law of attraction takes effect. And we take our faith, the conviction of truth. And where we go wrong is we start asking God for what we want. And sometimes what we want supersedes the one that's going to give it to us. Amen? So here's the catch. What we have to do is learn to, by faith, present our request to God through prayer, thanksgiving, and supplication. It says, make your request known unto God. Amen? And then when we go up to God, first acknowledging him, not what we want, but acknowledging him. This brings the winds of the law of attraction closer and closer and closer and closer. And then at the proper time, God will release. You hear people say all the time that God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, he did. There's not a prayer that's never unanswered. It's either yes, no, or not now. And because we don't get it the way we want it, then we say God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, he did. Because why are you going to give a child a loaded gun? Why would you do that? Why would God give his children something that's going to kill him? But he knows it's going to kill him. Because the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came to give us life. And he came to give it to us more abundantly. Amen. And everything is in the word we have in the pertainment of our lives. Everything the book of Peter speaks about. So when we send this faith up, we acknowledge God first. And when we acknowledge God, then we let him know what it is that we're trying to get. And God will begin to bring that law of attraction into effect. And as the winds get closer and closer, you begin to feel what you're about to receive. Let me give you an example. I walk. A lot of times I walk. I have to. My back. My legs. My arm. All of it going through some situations. And I can feel, because I've practiced it so many times, the law of attraction. I say, Lord, you know, I'd like to find me 20, 30, 100. I've even found 1,000. I can feel it. Because the winds of attraction by faith. And your faith gets stronger, stronger. And you begin to feel the attraction of what you're looking for. Are y'all with me? And then all of a sudden, I can hear a voice within me say, look down. Just about a week ago, I was walking. Walked down the road, and there's a $5 bill. They always just open up. Turned around, walked back up, there's another $5 bill. The next day, because the law of attraction, the winds of it, was circling my spirit and my soul. And then, the next day, I stepped out of a car at Hotspot on Gossett Road. And as soon as I stepped out, there was a $20 bill and a $1 bill. The law of attraction. I found close to $1,000 through the law of attraction. It's done happened about 50 or 60 times. I'm just trying to give you an example of how the law of attraction works. But you have to practice it. Let's go to Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7. The word of God says, God is not mocked. And correct me if I'm wrong. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that's what he's going to reap. Just because you're saved, you still going to reap those seeds that you've sown. You can't get away from it. What you sow is what you're going to reap. And the Bible says in the book of Corinthians that every seed has its own body. So if you can't sow carrots and expect to get corn, you can't do it. Only a fool would do that. So everything has to be placed in its proper position. Let's go to Isaiah 26:3. The word of God says in Isaiah, what did I say? 26:3. It says, he that keeps his mind stayed on me, I will keep in perfect peace. Amen. The law of attraction. The law of attraction. Your mind being stayed on God attracts God. And that law of attraction becomes more and more and more potent in your life. You want to know why some people seem to receive more from God than others? Because they understand the law of attraction. And let me tell you something. The corporate world understands it better than the church. What does the corporate world do when they start making money? They put up a foundation. They pay tithes into God. And God blesses them more and more and more and more and more. See, they understand the principles better than the Christian. You know why? Because leaders are more interested in entertaining you, making you feel good. But it's a false reality. It's not a real reality. So they want to entertain you, to keep you where they want you to be. They don't want to educate you, because if you become too educated, then you'll see and your eyes will open and you'll say, this ain't right. You see, it ain't about money. It's never been about money. It never will. It's about eternal life. So when we keep our minds stayed on God, the law of attraction, what it does is it stays focused on us. Because as we attract God, God is attracted to us. And when God comes in our life, he comes with a full package, according to his riches in glory. And he's got it all. He's got it all. So we just have to learn how to work with this law of attraction. Now, let's go to Genesis 1:26. What God says here, I'm not going to read all of it or recite all of it, but I want you to understand something. Y'all remember in Romans 4, 4:17, where it said, God calleth out those things that aren't as though they were? All right. Well, look here. The foundation of God is God. Amen? But the foundation of man is faith in God. See the difference? I might need to say that again. The foundation of God is God, because God don't need faith. But God gave us faith so that we could be like him. Now, God said, I'm going to call things out as though they are, even though they aren't, right? Genesis 1:26 tells us that, and God said, let us make man and let us make him in our likeness, in ours. That's likeness is spiritual. He's a spirit. And in our image, because he's celestial, right? So we can do the same thing God do, because we're his children, right? And life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? That's why we have to watch our mouth, watch what we say. You know what I hate about people? People talk too much. I'm going to get on back here a bit before somebody throw a rock. I'm going to get right on back up here. Here's where I got a problem with people. I meet them all the time running. They got a big mouth. They talk too much. They tell everybody business, but they don't tell their own. Beware of them kind of people. Beware of them gossipers. Because what they do, evil communication, corrupt good manners. Yes, it does. Now, to give you an idea about how God called things out, let me tell you something. You got to be specific. Somebody say be specific. I'm going to tell you why. When God called Lazarus, Jesus Christ, who's God, in the flesh, when he called for Lazarus to come forth, did he say just come forth, or did he say Lazarus come forth? Why did he do that? Because if he hadn't have been specific, everybody would have came up if you said, just come forth. You see what I'm saying? You got to be specific with God, you know. If he hadn't said Lazarus, everything would have came up. Everybody would have been crazy as a bat. So they oh, no, I thought all these folk was dead. No. Because he called them forth. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers, that's co-creators, co-workers, together with who? God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. And ye are God's husbandry. That word husbandry there means we are his field. He plants his seed within our soul. Amen. And ye are his building. So through the planting of the seed of God in our soul, it builds our spiritual soul. Amen. The building. The church is not this building. You don't go to church. You are the church. Amen. You got to realize who you are. We are not black. We are not white. We are the tribe of Judah. We got to realize who we are, because the world don't want you to know who you are. The world wants you to think you're a Caucasian or Afro-American, and one minute you're black and you're, you don't know who you are. But you of the tribe of Judah. And you got to realize who you are, who the true Judean Hebrew is, the originators. Amen? Amen. Now, you've been screwed up in the head so long because of lies that it's hard for you to see that. It's hard for you to see who you are. So you run around and you call yourself black, you call yourself white. You don't know who or what you are. But at House of Destiny, we teach you who you are. And then we can back it up too, because I can show you the ancient maps where the tribe of Judah, when they split, when the 12 tribes split, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin went to Africa. I can show it to you. And in the land of Negro land, see what they done? They made that word Negro a bad word, but it's a good word, because Negro land is one of the most prosperous places that was in Africa. And the tribe of Judah was there, and what they did was they went up there and they took the black Jews out of the tribe of Judah and brought them down the Ivory Coast or whatever that coast was, slave coast. And Deuteronomy said they put us on ships and brought us to a foreign land and put us in bondage. They ain't brought nobody else over here in ships and put them in bondage. But people don't know who they are. So, and people still run out here calling themselves black. You call yourself whatever you want. I know who I am, regardless of what I go through. I ain't gonna let no devil try to tell me. Jesus exposed them. Jesus said in, I think it's where? Revelation, I don't know if it's 2:9, I believe it's 2:9 and 3:9. He says it in two places. Let me read it to you. Let me tell you about these fake Jews. Oh, they gonna hate me. Let me tell you about 2:9. Let's see. 2:9. Revelation 2:9. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, that thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, look at it. He repeats this thing. Look at 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. That's a promise to us. Stop worshiping and believing in them fake Jews, because they're not the real ones. We are. You gotta know who you are. Don't be afraid to stand up. See, they don't like it when you stand up against them. See, they don't like it. They don't like that at all. See, this whole thing is propped up just like the ones over there now. See, that thing is propped up by America. That's not propped up by God. When the real ones come, you'll know it. You'll know it. You will know it. But Jesus is telling us right then and there that These people that's calling themselves Jews, they are the synagogue of Satan. They're not the real one. Why do you think Jesus was so hard on the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They were fake Jews. They weren't the real ones. That's why all you got to do is read the book. The book will tell you. Jesus was always on them. He said, I know who you are. Your father is of the, or you are of your father the devil. Yeah. Jesus didn't play around with them. And I don't play with them either. I don't care because none of them do nothing for me. I'm not in the clique of none of these churches. I don't deal with that. I deal with what God has given me. People sending their money to people that they don't even know and come to find out they're doing all kind of things. But me, everybody knows. I got a book out about my addiction, my prison time, federal and state, the whole nine yards. Why? Because why should I hide from you and God see everything? You tell me that. If you going to love me, you're going to love me for who I am and what I am. And we ain't going to be judging each other up in here and starting trouble. Y'all know me. Y'all know me. Y'all know I don't care nothing about family or nothing else. If I see some foolishness, I'm going to deal with it right then. And if you don't take heed, then I got some people up in here that'll usher you out of here. Amen. Have to. You know why? Because the Lord say, put that wicked one out from among you. Don't he say it? Yep. If you're a troublemaker, ain't that what he say in the book? Well, why they don't do it? I tell you why they don't do it, because of that right there. Mm-hmm. See, when you come through the door in most churches, they ain't interested in whether your soul is saved. They looking at how much money you giving. See, yeah, more people, more money. See, we reached the whole wide world right here. And like I told Dr. Carrington and Brother Carrington, $72 million plus have come through this church. And we service people all around the world. All you got to do is go on our website. You'll see. Well, we've been all over the place. See, we do that. That's what we do. Three things we do. We love the word. We keep peace here. And we take what God has given us, because a little in God's hand, I told you before, is a lot. And we shed, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's why we'll never, even though when we don't have, God makes a way. Does it not, Brenda? Amen. I mean, we received our first load, $250,000 worth of medicine. Tell you about the law of attraction. We was up here at the Baptist Church, First Baptist in Gaffney. Man had 2 pallets of medicine. And I thought that was a lot at that time. You know, I'm just starting out, right? Just got out of prison, you know, didn't know my head from my butt, but I had a vision. And I got with Brenda, and she had a vision, and the vision was the same. So I started leading that thing, and the law of attraction started coming. I said, you know, the man, I asked him where could I get some medicine like that from. He didn't want to tell me, right? He wanted to hide it from me. It's fine. Less than 2 months later, I get a call. Some place up here in Fort Mills, South Carolina. Ain't that? Yeah. It's a pharmaceutical company. So we got 37 pallets. Mm-hmm. 37 pallets of medicine. You want it? I'm stupid. I say, yeah. And then I just had got out of the hospital for radical surgery. Still had staples in my stomach. Still had a thing on my side where I had to urinate in, right? Because I had to hold it for 2 weeks, you know, after the thing. But anyway, I'm there, and I'm in the kitchen. I remember standing up, leaning on the counter. I said, man, I done told these people I'm going to get this, but we ain't got no truck. She said, if the Lord wasn't going to provide, he never would have gave it to you. And when she said that, that's all I needed to hear. See, help me. That means that's a support system. You know, it ain't good that a man dwell alone. It ain't good that a man dwell alone. I tell you, that's the law of attraction at work. Because I wanted it, and God knew that if he gave it to me, I'd do the right thing with it. And then we went to Gander, and we were servicing about 13 ministries up there. Biggest ones, I ain't going to call no name. And two of them ministries stole from us. $20,000, $30,000 stuff, two of them. We had to cut them loose. The Lutheran man up there at the Lutheran church, which I preached at for about a month up there when he took sick. What's his name? Roger Lindner. Of the Lutheran church in, called what's that guy's name that's up there now? Bugsy or whatever his name is. He's pastoring over now. But anyway, Roger Lindner said, you know, ain't nobody never stood up to that man. He's talking about that one particular preacher, one of them preachers that it stole. He said, ain't nobody never stood up to that man in this town like that. I said, that man don't mean nothing to me. I said, I got the same degree he got. He a doctor, I'm a doctor. He don't mean nothing to me. And I told him, I wrote a letter. I gave him one. I gave several of the other churches around there one, letting them know why I was doing what I was doing, and taking this stuff, taking it back, because I got a word from one of their congregants and said, if you don't come and get your medicine, you ain't going to have none. We went up there, man, they were hauling it out by the pallets. So we loaded it back up, and on New Year's Day, we hooked up and partnered in with Fame World. Those are doctors that go all around the world helping people. Out in where? Indianapolis, somewhere out in Indiana, way out there. The poundage on the truck was way over what it was supposed to have been. The driver had the papers all out of. Man, we'd all went to jail. Because you're supposed to pull over at all of these waste stations and get checked, right? Let me tell you something about God. We went all the way from Gaffney all the way to Indiana. And there was not one, hear my hand to God, there was not one way station open. Not one. That's crazy. That's God. And that's just a few things that God has done. That ain't even count, you know. I mean, it's just astronomical what God has done. A little in God's hand with faith is a whole lot. It's just a whole lot. You don't never know what God is going to do. Don't ever give up. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what you're going through. It's only to make you better. It's only to make you stronger. All we got to do is love one another. Keep the faith with one another. You know what I'm saying? The Bible tells us to encourage one another in the faith. Because we have to suffer our way into the kingdom. But how many of y'all know that the good wine comes from the oil press? The wine press. That's where the good wine come from. And the good oil come from the crushing of the olives. So you got to be crushed in order to be anointed. You got to go through. You got to go through, people. It's just no other way. There's just no other way. So I'm just trying to tell you about how the law of attraction works if you believe. If you believe. Now, let's look at this last verse. 2 Peter 2:17. Because we don't want to be in this category. 2 Peter 2:17. 2 Peter 2:17. It says, well, these are wells without water. Well, wait a minute. Before I go there, I got to go to Isaiah 12:3. Excuse me. Go to Isaiah 12:3. Let me show you something. Isaiah 12:3. We got to go there. And I'm going to tell you why. Very important. Isaiah 12:3. Are we there? Watch this. Therefore, with joy, shall ye draw water. Those are the blessings of God, that water. Out of the what? Did it say one well or many wells? It's got an S on it. Out of the wells of salvation. So salvation got all kind of wells in it that you can draw from. If you need healing, you got to know which well to go to. If you need prosperity, you need got to go know which well to go to. Because salvation has many wells to it. The word salvation means prosperity, victory, salvation with God, or your souls being saved by God. It means all of that stuff. Look it up. Look up salvation in the Hebrew, and you'll see what it means. That's why it's got wells there. So you got to, in order to attract God's attention and have this law of attraction in effect, you have to know which well to go to. There's a well for prosperity. There's a well for healing. There's a well for wholeness. There's a well for salvation. Whatever you need, God got a well for it. And you got to go with what? Joy. Because the joy of the Lord, Jeremiah 8:10, I believe, says, is our strength. Amen? So you got to know which well to go to. You got to meditate on this and say, Lord, where do I need to draw water from in this situation that I'm in? Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. But now let's go to 2 Peter. Or 1 Peter, which one? Let me see. 2 Peter, thank you. Because I'm about closed. I'm about to do it. 2 Peter 2:17. Amen. 2 Peter 2:17 says that these are wells. All right, let me just go back up here. And I'm just going to read verse 12. But these as natural, I'm going to start at verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts. You know God called man beast that ain't saved and don't know him? They are beasts. We got a lot of beasts out there. It's got a lot of men. They look like men, but they're animals. And they'll kill you if you even look at them wrong. And that's an animal. That ain't no man. That's an animal with his britches all down low. What's wrong with him? That ain't no man. What's wrong with you? You think that's cool? Nothing cool about that. Go to jail and do that. Go ahead. See what them animals up in there do. Yeah, how about how you like me now? It says that these are as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they don't understand, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. Yeah, they'll laugh with you, but they really want to kill you. having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, tricking people who are unstable. A heart they have exercised with greedy practices, covetous, cursed children, it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Y'all know about Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Now watch this. Here's where we're going. These are wells without what? A lot of times we trying to draw from a well that doesn't have any water in it. Clouds that are carried away with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. We're wasting too much time drawing water or trying to draw water from a dry well. Only the wells of salvation has water in it. All this other stuff, it's not going to last. It's dried up from the beginning, but you just don't know it. But because instead of us attracting ourselves to God so that God can bring in the law of attraction to us through himself, what we're doing is, you know, some things out here will attract itself to you. That's not good for you. Am I right about it? That's why Paul said, touch not, taste not, handle not, because the usage thereof perish at the usage thereof. Amen? I didn't understand that until it was too late. I had already put my hand to things that ain't have no business, that I got to fight all my life to try to get rid of. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Let me tell you something. The further you go down, the more you go through, the harder it is for you to live a righteous life. See, a goody two-shoe can't lead you. Because a goody two-shoe don't know what you're going through. So what they'll do is they'll hit you over the head with religion. And the same word that's supposed to give you life will kill you. I can take the same word and beat you over the head and make you just feel real bad about yourself. You'll leave feeling worse than you did when you came. But I'm here to give you joy through the word of the Lord. Amen. Now let's give God some praise up in this house.
Go ahead and meditate on that thing and chew on it, and then I want to activate it. But I know I got to go to God first for it to be attracted to me. So, did y'all enjoy the word? Did you receive something from the word? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, the Lord is good. And it's true. I don't know what it was, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock. I don't know what time it was. All I know is he was having a nightmare. And he was reaching for me, and I'm like, what in the world? I'm asleep. I'm like, what in the world is going on? He said, I'm having a nightmare. I'm having a nightmare. He never told me what the nightmare was. So earlier this morning, then we, you know, I was in there trying to get me some private time with the Lord. And I usually do that because I like to get up way early before he gets up so I won't be interrupted. And he had had another nightmare. And when he never told me the dream, but rest assured, if the Lord has spoken and said hell is coming up to meet us, we better make sure we're well equipped. We need to make sure we're strapped. Amen. That is so very, very important. One thing about God never not leave this house informed about anything. So we can give God praise and glory for that. Amen. Now let's give God a hand clap of praise for his word. Amen. 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 We're going to go ahead and we're going to lift our tithes and offering. And I need to review our fellowship dinner for Resurrection Sunday. Or some people call it Easter Sunday. But, you know, ain't no rabbits running around here and ain't no hiding eggs. Amen. You know, Mr. Thompson, he kind of threw his hands up. He know me. We praise God. We ask that you remember an absent part of the church family. We've had some calls this morning. People have been sick. And we're going to lift them up in prayer. It's very, very, very important. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Philip, you think I can get a little something here? Amen. Amen. I would like to soften the atmosphere. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. It's just so much. Go back and this is aired on. Let's see. Brother Norris, would you step outside? Let's bless our tithes and our offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you now. We just praise you. We appreciate all that you've done and all that you're doing. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege to be able to give. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Now, God, we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Give back to your people according to your word. If we give, you said you would, men will give back into our bosom, pressed down, running over, shaken together, that men will give into your bosom. So God, we receive your word. We know that you are one that will honor your word. And therefore, God, we give your word back to you. You said that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And Father God, you have made us righteous. So we thank you, Lord God, for every portal that is open to release unto us the riches of heaven. Now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, let the winds of the law of attraction, let it come to us in great abundance. And then, God, we ask in Jesus' name that you will give us the wisdom to know how to handle all that you're going to release unto us. This we ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. I want to go over this next Sunday. Dr. Manley. Dr. Manley, did you cut this off? That's why we have to get some other folk in here that knows what to do. Because a few weeks ago, we just had everything on there. Amen. But the Lord is good, right?